going to look at Baptist history. And this could very easily also be in the series that I'm doing on miracles in American history. There's quite a lot to the story. It'll take a couple weeks to tell the story. Many of you will know parts of this story. I have told this man's history before, but I've never gone into the depth that I'm going to go into this time, and for a reason you'll see. And this is a man that many of us know his name. Most of us, all of us would probably know his name, but many probably don't know his story and how important his story is to American history. But we're going to look a little bit at not just American history and this Baptist history, but this is a Texas story. And Texas is Texas history is American history. I didn't grow up in Texas, but I understand if you grew up in Texas, you are told and taught over and over again the stories of Texas Rangers and the Alamo and the people who made Texas what it is today. I think of Stephen Austin and Davy Crockett and William Travis. However, these people that I just mentioned would not be famous, and Texas very well might be still part of Mexico without one person, without one man, and his name is Samuel Houston. And I want to tell his story this morning. It's not only just a very exciting American story, but it's also really an amazing spiritual journey. And this man grew up in a very strict Presbyterian home. He rebelled against that. That led him into American Indian spiritism. It led him then to horrible alcoholism, two broken marriages, and eventually he would become a very godly Baptist gentleman and statesman. And his story is worth telling, and that's what I want to tell this morning. So Sam Houston was born in Virginia in 1793. As I said, he was raised in a strict Presbyterian home. His parents taught him the Bible. They did all they could to teach him biblical principles as he was a young child. He was a very rebellious boy, and at 13, his father died. That just made him more angry at God, I suppose. And his mother and the children, they moved to Tennessee to start a new life as farmers. Now, Houston, as a boy, he hated school. He hated especially farming, and he didn't want to become a farmer like his brothers and sisters were becoming. And so he rebelled, and as a teenager, he ran away. A very worried uncle sadly said, "I have no hope for Sam. He is so wild." Sam ran away to the Cherokee Indians, and he was taken in by the Indians. He lived there for 3 years. He learned their language and their culture, their religion. He was adopted by the chief of the tribe, and who also took a lot of time to teach him the Indian culture and language. The chief changed his name to the Raven, and that was an honorable name in the Cherokee world. It was a symbol of good luck, well-known name among Cherokee Indians. And Houston immersed himself in this newfound culture, and he determined to only speak, eat, and dress Cherokee whenever he returned, as he had to once in a while, into white civilization. The relationship with Cherokees would be very important throughout his life, as it turns out, and it would become a very important part of American history. The Indians respected him, and they would find a lifelong friend in Sam Houston in the very, very turbulent times that were about to come to the Indian people. So this great life he was living ended abruptly when the United States went to war with Britain in 1812. We've talked about the War of 1812. There was a sweeping of patriotism, a war fever that swept through the states, especially Tennessee. And Sam, always restless, decided to go back into civilization. His reasons were a little less than patriotic. He was broke. He was heavily in debt, and the military promised a signing bonus and a regular paycheck. So he went into the military. He left his adopted Cherokee family and went back into civilization. He was 20 years old at that time. The War of 1812 was in full swing. He really showed a lot of heroics on the battlefield, and at one battle he was gravely wounded, but he led the men around him to a tremendous victory. At one point in that battle, he was 5 yards away from the enemy guns. He took 2 bullets in the chest. His injuries were so bad that he was left on the battlefield to die. They didn't think there was anything they could do for him. The next morning, however, he was still alive. And amazingly, and this is the truth, he made his way 50 miles in that condition back to Fort Williams and eventually to his home. His injuries were so terrible that it took over 6 months to heal. There's no explanation for this recovery except that God was protecting him for even greater achievements. For his heroics on the battlefield, he quickly rose to the rank, lieutenant. And this heroics on the field really drew the attention of one of the generals that is so key to America the War of 1812, and that is Andrew Jackson, who would eventually become president. And Andrew Jackson would become a lifelong friend. He would become a benefactor and a mentor. And this is also kind of amazing. Sam Houston at this point was only 21 years of age. So eventually he leaves the army, he returns to Tennessee, and here's this rebellious young guy who hates school. He goes back to school, he earns a law degree, begins his own practice, he teaches for a while, and during this time he's rising in the ranks of the Tennessee militia, eventually rising to the rank of major general. He's extremely popular. He's kind of a larger-than-life personality, very large man, imposing, person and personality. And he's, again, extremely popular. And because of his relationship with Andrew Jackson, he eventually becomes a U.S. congressman from the state of Tennessee. It's obvious to everybody around him that he is destined to become president of the United States. He's larger than life, as I said. His popularity was universal. I read his biographies about everybody, and the country was discovering who Samuel Houston was. Everybody loved him, very, very popular. He would win elections by 80, 85, 90% of the vote. Just an amazing personality. A few years later, after he has been a U.S. congressman, he leaves that office to return to the state of Tennessee, where he's elected governor of Tennessee. He is on a very carefully prepared path, I would say, that his mentor, Andrew Jackson, had made for him to succeed Jackson as president of the United States. That's what Jackson's idea was in mentoring this young man. So as I mentioned, he had been raised in a Presbyterian home. He had rejected God. He had rejected everything, schooling, everything along the way. And this also led into something that I have not talked about, but he began drinking. And really soon was just a terrible alcoholic, even as a young man. This would follow him for decades. When he was governor of Tennessee, he married a young lady who was 19. But the marriage ended within weeks, probably because of abuse and his drinking. He begged his wife to return to him and forgive him, but she refused. The news of the separation was an unbelievable sensation, if you can imagine, not just around Tennessee, but really around the country, as newspapers began to pick up this story of this very dramatic split between this man who is destined to be president of the United States. He's governor of Tennessee, and this very dramatic split from his wife. Crowds would gather outside the governor's mansion at night to hear the latest news. Houston privately and very publicly also begged her to return, but she wouldn't. And this divorce just devastated him. And when she would not come back to him, he resigned as governor of Tennessee and left Tennessee. Very humiliated and broken. At one point, several days later, he disguises himself. It's a very rich story. Disguises himself and slinks down to the river, catches a boat to take him away from the scandal and the humiliation. He goes back into the wilderness, and he goes back to the Cherokee people that had taken him in and raised him previously. And really, though, this ended any chance of him ever becoming president of the United States. Newspapers across the country reporting this, like tabloids, the shocking events to one of the most popular men in the country. His political career was over. His life was basically destroyed. And again, as I said, any chance of him ever becoming president was destroyed. In returning to the Indians, he tried to find solace. He tried to find peace there, as he had when he was a young boy or a teenager. And he completely rejected American society, except for one thing. He did keep the lines of communication open with Andrew Jackson. And his friendship with Andrew Jackson was very important to him, and he did keep that one thing open. The Indians, the Cherokee Indians, that tribe had actually sided with the Americans in the War of 1812. And so to them, he was also a great hero on the battlefield, and they welcomed him back as a great hero and somebody they knew, of course, from before. He became an official citizen of the Cherokee Nation, and really continued to spiral downward and went deeper into alcoholism. The Indians, who had named him Raven, now gave him a new name, try to pronounce it here, Osti Arotoski, which means big drunk. And that was their official name for Sam Houston. And Houston at this point had hit absolute bottom in his life. I'll have to finish this next week, of course, but the rest of the story, that's a very interesting part of the story. That's a part of the story that most people don't know when we think of Sam Houston. But that story is very important to what will happen next. And he hits the bottom here of his life. And the rest of the story is not only a testimony to God's grace on our country, but also God's miraculous grace in the life of Sam Houston. And we'll finish that part of the story next week as we study the rest of the life of Samuel Houston.